dance has hit the town. Oh, man, this is a solid sensation. Watch these cats do this new creation. Book it. Nothing to it, Jack. Book it. On the mellow track. Book it. Dig it coming back. Bim, bam, skim, scam, jim, jam, wrong. Book it. Everybody now. Book it. Everybody bow. Book it. Take it easy now, bim, bam, skim, scam, jim, jam, wrong. You do like shining a window, but you ain't got no window, so you just picture a window and boogie, slow and easy, then you boogie. Nothing to it, Jack, boogie, on the mellow track, boogie. Dig it coming back, bim, bam, skim, scam, jim, jam, wrong. Bim, bam, skim, scam, jim, jam, romp. Everybody now. Everybody bow. Take it easy now. Bim, bam, skim, scam, jim, jam, romp. You do like shining a window, but you ain't got no window. So you just picture a window and boogie.
Boogie. And boogie.
And throw it in and you boogie. Do it, Jack, boogie. On the mellow track,
boogie.
I dig it coming back. A bim, a bam, a skim, a scam, a jim, jam, wrong. Boogie. 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 Bim, bam, skim, scam, jim, jam, wrong. Oh, boogie. We'll be right back.
Okay, Chair, whenever you're ready.
All right, very good. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Design Review Board meeting of Tuesday, February 2nd. Can we have a roll call, please?
Member Clinton. Welcome back. Member DeGaisis.
I am here.
Member Iman.
Present.
Member King.
Here.
Vice Chair Schellenberger. He's absent. And Chair Branch.
Here.
Member Whalen is absent. Member Clinton.
Still not logged in yet. She'll be here.
Okay, thank you.
All right, well, with that, we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I'd like to state that this virtual meeting is held pursuant to AB 361. The meeting will be virtual because meeting in person would represent imminent risks to the health or safety of attendees. The public may only view the meeting on Goleta Channel 19 and or online at the city's website and not in the council chamber. So with that, before we begin, the public may notice we have a new member, James King. Mr. King, welcome to the DRB. The member for whom he's replacing, Greg Hart, I would like to thank him for his service, having spent time on the board and contributing in a positive way. And we wish him the best on his endeavors going forward. So with that, at this time, the public shall have an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. Linda, are there any participants that want to speak on any non-agenda item?
Would any attendee who wishes to speak on an item not on today's agenda please click on the hand raise icon now? No, Chair Branch. There's no one this time.
Very good. Then we'll begin with our administrative agenda and the review and approval of the Design Review Board minutes for our February 8th meeting. Can I get somebody to make a motion for that?
Don't move.
I don't think you can because you weren't here. So I saw Kara. Okay, Jonathan.
We approve the agenda meeting minutes.
Very good. Can I get a second? Kara, I see your hand up. So we have a second. Any discussion? No? Okay, very good. Let's take a roll call on the minutes.
Member Clinton?
Aye.
Member DeGaisis?
Aye.
Member Iman?
Aye.
Member King?
Aye.
Member Whalen is absent. Vice Chair Schellenberger is absent. Chair Branch?
Aye.
And Chair Branch, Member King will have to abstain. So,
yes.
For the record.
Yes. That will take us to our review of the agenda, which will be exciting today. Mary, go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Chair and members. So today we have the first item. We have some conflicts on the board for this item, and we will not have a quorum to be able to continue. So staff, myself, will continue that item. And also B5, we're also continuing to the next meeting. So perhaps when we get to the item, we'll go through the logistics. We don't need to pull them right now. So if you're ready to proceed with B1, and Linda can read it for the record.
Item B1 is the Fuel Depot signage located at 55 North Fairview Avenue, APN 077170025. It's case number 22-0003-ZC.
And this item today, we do not have a quorum for because Chair Branch and Member DeBases are not able to participate in this on this item, and therefore staff, myself, will continue this item to March 8th.
Very good. With that, we will proceed to item B2. Linda?
Item B2 is the Cox Communication signage located at 22 South Fairview Avenue, APN 071-021-044, case number 21-0020-DRB.
Very good. Let's get declarations out of the way. Let's see who has visited the site. Jonathan?
No site visit, no ex parte.
Very good. Martha?
Virtual site visit, no ex parte.
Jim?
I have no comment.
So you haven't visited the site or had any outside discussions with the applicant?
No.
Okay. Very good. Karis? Okay, and I had virtual site visit and no ex parte. So, Brian, the floor is yours, sir.
Okay, thank you, Chair, and welcome, Mr. King, to the board. Today is a signage review that I've got for you today at Cox Communications on South Fairview, just south of the freeway. The sign itself is not very complicated. It just says Cox and in their colors, standard corporate colors. The one piece of regulation that I'd like to bring to the board's attention and ask that the board deliberate on are regarding legibility and readability. So these are kind of new regulations that we have in Title 17 that went into effect when that zoning ordinance was, so I guess that was a little over a year ago. But to my knowledge, we haven't really had a chance to kind of vet them out in a meeting. So I wanted to pull them forward. And I think this sign can benefit from a discussion on them. So the sign is proposed facing north, which is kind of the back of the building, so to speak, but it does face the US 101 right of way and also can partially be seen by, I think, the Fairview overcrossing and overpass there. And so that's the intended viewers out there. And you'll notice that the legibility and readability talk a lot about intended viewers. For instance, the average distance or speed of the intended viewer can affect the size and location of the sign. And so I just wanted to pull that out as a specific regulation that I'd like the board to talk about today. And other than that, the sign is fairly simple. It's exempt from CEQA review as on-site signage. And next steps are a zoning clearance and building permits. So really it's just a matter of these regulations as well as any other aesthetic item that the board feels like they would like to talk about. So I believe at least one of the two applicants is here, Michael Phelps. Do you wanna join the conversation here and then I can pull up the plans and then you can kind of present them from there.
Yeah, that's not a problem. Thank you, Brian. And what Brian said is exactly to the point. We're proposing adding a sign to the rear elevation as a wayfinding sign for people traveling down, I believe it is it pronounced El Camino? Is that the road that runs behind there?
Well, it'd be US 101.
Traveling. Okay. Traveling, I believe, west. Is where it's most legible. The nice part is it helps identify that building to those people traveling west so that they can get off that off ramp right there. If they miss it, they've got to travel another 2 miles or maneuver through traffic to try to find that, get on that off ramp. So we are kind of locked in on size Obviously, we would love to go larger. However, based on that opening only being 11 feet with their family of signs, the 36-inch sign is the largest sign that we can do for that particular location.
Okay. Anything else?
I don't think so. I think it presents a great opportunity based on how the building and is set in on Fairview. It's kind of snuck in back there, and it is hard to find without a sign identifying itself. I believe the old saying is freestanding signs help identify the property. Building signs help identify the building, and I think an additional sign would help support this particular facility immensely.
Okay, very good. Let's see, we'll go with questions from the board. Jonathan, do you have any questions?
Well, I just was reading white LEDs as required by manufacturer will illuminate it from internally, is that right?
You are correct. Yeah, the white, so that it gives it that nice corporate colors in the evening hours.
Okay, thank you.
To just expand on that, Michael. So in other words, the letters themselves will illuminate and it'll be backlit on the wall, correct?
No, the sign itself is only actually, it'll be stood off the wall, probably anywhere between an inch to 2 inches, to give that white halo effect behind it. I'm sorry,
that one. The letters themselves are opaque, or are they translucent?
They're translucent. The vinyl on it's a digital print that is translucent, and then it'll allow backlighting to kind of give it that halo effect behind it.
Okay, so at night you'll see the letters glowing green and blue, as well as the white halo on the building.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yes, sir.
Just clarifying. Okay, Martha, do you have any questions?
Oh, no, you're good.
The only question I have is the building open at night? Is the business open at night?
You know, that particular, don't know, I believe it is. I'm not sure what time it goes to. I know that here in Ohio, where I'm based out of, and it could be different based in California, our nighttime starts getting night around 4:30, 5 o'clock. Not sure how that is out in California, but yes, to answer that question, I believe it is, but I'm not 100% sure of that.
Brian, do you happen to know the business hours of this location?
No, that's not something I looked up for this particular case, but I can.
Okay. Okay. Martha, any other questions?
Oh, that's it.
Okay. Karis, do you have any questions?
No.
Marius, I saw that you had your hand up.
I believe that the office operation is typical 8 to 5, but they do have service people in different areas of the different on the site. So, the office people, it's like 8 to 5. I'm not sure, it's probably going, there'll be other workers within other buildings at various times.
Does this location have a component where the public can come in and purchase services and return equipment like at Loretto Plaza, or is this strictly employees that work at Cox?
This is not a retail operation. It's their headquarters, and they have their critical facility to run, all the stuff that the services that we get. So it's not for retail. No customer. I mean, there may be people coming in for meetings and things like that, or service people, but not for retail.
Got you. Okay. All right. Let's see. Jim, do you have any questions?
The only question I have is these letters on this sign are stable. That is to say, there's no movement of the letters and there's no flashing of the letters. Is that correct?
I believe that you're correct. That's correct.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Okay. I guess I don't have any questions. Before we move to comments, Linda, has anybody from the public requested to speak on this issue?
Would any attendee who wishes to speak on this item please click on the hand wave icon now? And no, Chair Branch.
Okay. Then with that, we'll go to comments. Jonathan?
No comments.
Karis, do you have any comments? Martha, do you have any comments?
No, I have no comments.
Okay. Jim, do you have comments?
No, I don't.
Okay. I don't either. Other than the sign facing the freeway is it's not really for the public to find the building. If the employees work there, they kind of know where it is. So it's just kind of it's kind of just a sign to say that Cox is here, I guess. But it's kind of an innocuous sign, and I'm fine with it. I guess I don't have a problem with that. So, let's see with that. Let me see. It seems like everybody's okay with it. Somebody want to take a stab at a motion on this one? Was that you, Karis?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry. Can you guys hear me?
Now I can hear you. Yeah, go ahead.
How about we move to approve it? Is anybody concerned about it being on at night when the business is closed? Is that a concern for anyone? Okay, then I move that we approve the sign with the findings from staff.
Can I get a second?
A second motion.
Seconded by Jonathan. Very good. Any discussion? All right. Linda, roll call, please.
Member Clinton?
Aye.
Member DeGasis?
Aye.
Member Iman?
Aye.
Member King?
Aye.
Member Whalen is absent. Vice Chair Schellenberger is absent. Chair Branch?
Aye.
Thank you.
All right, very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. That will take us to item B3.
Item B3 is La Garita signage located at 5698 Hollister Avenue, APN 071-081-032, case number 21-0025 DRB.
Very good. Site visits and ex parte, Martha?
Site visit and no ex parte.
Jonathan?
Site visit and no ex parte.
Karis?
Virtual site visit, no ex parte.
Jim, did you visit the site at all?
Sorry?
Did you visit the site at all?
No, I did not.
No site visit, no ex parte discussions with the applicant?
No.
Very good. I've a virtual site visit and no ex parte conversations. So with that, is this yours? Who's this? Oh, this is Travis. Travis, the floor is yours.
Good afternoon, Chair Branch and members of the board. The product before you today is the La Garita sign change. Let me present my screen.
All
Can everyone see this?
Yes.
Okay. This project was continued from the February 8th meeting, where it received some comments regarding the freestanding pole sign and the wall sign on the front of the building facing Hollister Ave. They have, in response to the comments from the February 8th meeting, they have come back with this redesigned sign for your consideration. The project is located in Old Town Goleta, so it must comply with the Old Town Goleta design guidelines.
Very good. All right. Is the applicant here?
Masatha, are you on the meeting?
Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
All right. Hi, I'm Vasanta with Visual Image Designs. So last time when I was there, I was asked to make some changes to sign B, which is this wall sign. And so I did individual PVC letters, 10 inch for the big one and 6 inch for the Mexican food and a 10 inch logo. And that's the only change. The others, I believe, it's the committee was okay with the sign A, the panel for the light box.
Right. Okay.
That's about it. Yes.
Okay. Very good. Any questions from the board, Martha?
No, I do not have any questions.
Jonathan?
No questions.
Karis?
My question is more for staff. Does the sign meet the requirements of Old Town area? The size of the lettering, Brian?
So Chair Branch, if I can chime in.
Yep.
The signage meets our zoning code, Title 17 requirements. The Old Town Heritage guidelines are their guidelines. So it's sort of up to the board as to whether you find the signage consistent with the guidelines. So it's not a requirement, they're guidelines.
Okay. Jim, do you have any questions?
Well, I have no questions.
Okay, nor do I. Linda, do we have anybody from the public that would like to speak on this item?
Would any attendees who wish to speak on this item please click on the hand wave icon now? No, Chair Branch, there's no one.
Okay, well then we will move to comments. Karis? No comments? Okay, Martha?
Yeah, my comment is the small medallion logo. I feel that it's one, possibly not visible for the intended viewers, which I'm assuming are either people across the street or people driving by. And I feel that the La Guerrerita Mexican food, if it were raised up a bit in to take the place of that small medallion, would be more effective. Other than that, I really appreciate that they changed the type of signage to these individual letters. I think it looks a lot better, and it's an improvement on the overall sign appearance in Old Town. Those are my comments.
Very good. Jonathan?
Yeah, I'd just like to say I appreciate the responsiveness of the applicant, and I think it's actually a little bit of a added bonus that the address numbers are up high where they're even more visible than they were originally.
Mm-hmm. Jim, you have any comments about it?
Well, I would agree with Martha on this. I mean, I think that some of that typeface is too small. The logo is too small for people who are passing by, particularly if they're driving. So my recommendation would be that it be increased in size a little bit.
All right, I'll chime in. I thought Martha had a good comment about the logo. I'm not sure. I think with the pole sign that has the big family logo on it, is great. That's a well-designed sign. I think that tells the story. And I think if you, yeah, I think that's fine. That kind of tells everything. And that's going to be the biggest sign you're going to see on site. And going back to that wall sign, I think Martha hit on it great. If you were to lose the 10-inch logo and just move that as designed, just move that up a bit, I think the proportion of that would sit beautifully on that wall. And it looks, I think it looks 10 times better from what we saw before. It now, it's not as busy. It's like that, there's the logo. I mean, there's the sign, you know what place you're looking for, and there's the sign right there. So I would support it. I could support it as is if we're just kind of moved up to where that logo, the little 10-inch logo is, and lose the 10-inch logo. I think that would be great.
Can I say something?
Yep. Go ahead.
You know, my customer is really, you know, insisting me about the logo because that gives her some kind of theme, authentic, whatever. So, she wanted bigger. I said, no, 10 inches is the biggest you can have. So I need, you know, if I can have the logo, it's really appreciated, you know, for her. My customer is really insisting on that.
All right, well.
10 inch is the maximum over there, so that's why I went 10 inch and the old town.
I got you. I would say, I guess, if that's something that the applicant really wants to dig their heels in on this, for me personally, I could acquiesce to that. I see that thing is already above that van by a fairly substantial amount, you know, with cars parking there. I think you'll still see the sign, and I could support it as is. I don't know that I think it would look better without that little logo and moving it up, like Martha said, but if this is something the applicant really wanted, that's not something that would be a deal killer for me personally. I could support it as presented now. I think it looks way better than we saw last week. So anybody else, Martha?
I think it could be the whole complex then, if the owner is rather insistent on having the little medallion there, I think the whole thing could maybe be moved up a bit under that floodlight. And I think it would still be successful that way.
Okay. Maybe move it up another foot or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like the proportions would be a bit better on that facade.
Okay. Wasante, think you could move that up like maybe another foot, maybe?
Yes. Just a logo, right?
No, the whole thing. Just as the proportion of the logo to the letters, that all works kind of in concert pretty well. So, I think we're suggesting move the whole thing up a little bit closer to the light above it.
Got it. I will. So it's right now, it's at 78 inches from the ground, you know, from the planter.
Yeah.
So I'll move to 88 inches or 90.
Yeah, move it up 10 inches. That's perfect.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
All right. Thank you.
I don't think we lose anything by that. I think that's fine. I think the proportions are pretty good. Okay. Anybody else have any thoughts and or issues about that?
Chair Branch, this is Travis, the planner.
Yeah.
What if they, since the medallion is so small, what if they moved the words up above further and then put the medallion under where it says Mexican food, or would that not look as good?
I'm fine with how that's how they've got it designed right now as is. And I think moving it up just as is fine. That's the design that they've chosen. And, you know, they went to great lengths to tweak it from what we saw last time. And I thought they responded more than adequately to this. I think that's a much smarter looking sign than we had before. For me personally, I'm fine with leaving the logo up top. Anybody else? Anybody else have any thoughts or disagree with that on the board? Okay. So Wasanta, you're good with moving the whole thing up 10 inches.
Yes. Yes, sir.
As presented. All right. If that works for everybody here, somebody want to make a motion for that?
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
I move to approve item B3, 5698 Hollister Avenue, La Guerrerita signage, with the provision that the lettering and logo be moved up on the building facade 10 inches and with staff findings.
Very good. Can I get a second?
I second the motion.
Seconded by Jonathan. Any discussion? Very good. Can we have roll call?
Member Clinton?
Aye.
Member DeGasis?
Aye.
Member Iman?
Aye.
Member King?
Aye.
Chair Branch?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wasanta.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Okay. That will take us to item B4. Linda?
Item B4 is CZ.
You've muted yourself, I think.
Okay, it's CZ Furniture Solutions signage located at 5968 Hollister Avenue, APN 071052027, case number 21-0022 DRB.
Very good. Let's see, site visits, everybody. Martha?
Site visit, no ex parte.
Jonathan?
Site visit, no ex parte.
Karis?
Virtual site visit, no ex parte.
Jim?
I really don't have any comment to make.
This is just about whether or not you visited the site prior to...
No, I didn't visit the site.
Okay. And I had no... I had a virtual site visit, no ex parte conversations. Okay, with that, Travis, you're up again.
Thank you, Chair Branch and members of the board. The project before you today is the CZ Furniture Solutions signage project located at 5968 Hollister Ave in Old Town Goleta. The applicant proposes to install a new 4x8 flush-mounted non-illuminated wall sign with a new logo and 6.84-inch and 4-inch-tall letters on matte digital print for a business name change. I believe the applicant is here, and let us know if you have any questions. Thank you.
Great. The applicant there?
Chair Branch, I do not believe the applicant is on, and if Nick, if you are on, perhaps you can accept the invite to come on to the meeting. In the event that the applicant does not show, the DRB can still take action as long as you have questions that can be resolved and answered by staff.
Okay.
Proceed that way. The other option is you can move this item to allow the applicant to come on. I don't know if he's having technical difficulties. So maybe just take a look and see if there are any questions.
Yeah, let's go. It's pretty simple, and there's several items left to go. So, just to recap, this is a non-illuminated, non-dimensional sign, right? It's
correct.
It's basically just it's a flat sign, just up on the wall in these dimensions. Correct.
Yes, Chair Branch.
With all the letters painted on or applied vinyl letters or whatever. Okay. All right. With that, any questions from the board? Jonathan?
No questions.
Karis?
This is the next page of the drawing
There you go.
Oh, no, not that one. How about the next one? do comments too?
Yes, go ahead.
I think it looks strange having a big empty space across from the sea at the top. Yeah, right there. And then the, at the bottom, it looks like too squishy. And I'm not a big fan of having the wording.
So it feels like there's too much blank space at the top of the sign and the letters are crammed on the bottom. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha. Fair enough. Martha?
I have just a quick question and a comment. So my question is, as one approaches the site from Fairview, they have also a sign facing what I would call northwest in their window. And I just wanted to ask Mr. Lee if that doesn't cause them to exceed their available signage allotment.
Member DeGasis, I'm not aware of that northwestern sign that you're referring to. There's nothing in the plans about that. I do know that the southern facade facing Hollister, that the total signage area allowed is 1 square foot per lineal foot of street frontage, and the currently proposed sign is 38.5. They have 38.5 feet of street frontage, and they're proposing a 32 square foot sign already. So they're pretty close to what their allotment is. I'm not sure about the calculation regarding that northwestern sign in their window.
Then my comment is that I agree with Member Clinton that it seems, although their sign that's in their on their other frontage looks very much like this sign, I would say that, yeah, it would benefit from Furniture Solutions being raised on the sign just to even out the array. And then, those are my comments. And also that it is a vast improvement over what they have there now. So all in all, I support the change, but I agree that graphically it would be better presentation to have the words Furniture Solutions and the other words underneath raised up. That's all.
Okay. Jonathan, you didn't have questions, but do you have any comments?
I'm having trouble envisioning what my colleagues are describing. I'm just wondering if, since there's a line of demarcation between Z and the lettering, but there wouldn't be between C, that might actually feel a little awkward to me, but it's hard for me to envision it clearly without seeing that option.
Acknowledged. Jim, do you have any comments?
Yeah, I do, actually. I think this sign is totally lacking in cohesion. The C and the Z seem like two separate entities. They don't seem to be tied together in any way, shape, or form. The Furniture Solutions aspect of it with the white space above it seems to be an afterthought. And the bottom line is essentially, at a distance, is essentially unreadable unless you're right on top of the signage. So, to me, this is a sign that doesn't function as a sign. I don't know what the purpose of it is, but it doesn't seem to me anyway, it doesn't seem to really function as a sign pointing out a location and what the business does.
Very good. I tend to agree with all that. I think the sign is, obviously that's the perfect location for it up there. And I don't even have a problem with how it fills that space per se. In fact, it could even be reduced in size just a little bit, so you get a little bit more of the building on top of the sign. That's a little bit thin, seeing the stucco up there. That it It feels like that fights that. So I would argue that you could reduce that sign by, I don't know, 10% or so on all sides and still be able to have it a decent size, but sort of fill that space a little bit better. But I agree that the logo itself, I mean, I get the C and the Z with the chair thing in there, and that's okay, that's fine. But the words Furniture Solutions definitely needs to, if you're stuck on that logo, I would lose the words beneath it because they're completely lost. And then that would give you a little bit more negative space underneath it. And maybe that helps balance it out, or maybe you raise it so that the horizontal seat of the chair aligns with the space between furniture and solutions. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but I think that needs to be reworked. It feels a little clunky and not quite completely thought out. So, but I think the colors are fine. They go with the building. Okay. And, I can support the concept, but I think that's something we'd probably want to take another look at after you guys kind of sort of sort out the graphical, puzzle you have there. So those would be my comments. Let's see, did I already ask if there was any public that wanted to speak on this?
Would any attendee who wishes to speak on this item please click on the hand wave icon now? And there are no speakers, Chair Branch.
Okay, thank you. All right, well, everybody was kind of in the same scenario. Anybody want to take a motion and potential? I guess continuances, we kind of want to see it reworked, it seems like. Everybody agree?
Yeah, I make a motion that we continue it, allowing us enough time to make and do we continue it to a state certain?
Yeah, Chair Branch, Member Clinton, we're having a hard time hearing you. If you are going to make a motion to continue, we can continue to March 8th, which is our next meeting.
Okay, so
continue to March 8th, please.
Continue to March 8th. Okay. Can I get a second on that?
A second.
Okay, seconded by Martha. Any discussion? All right, very good. We'll take a roll call.
Member Clinton?
Aye.
Member DeGasis?
Aye.
Member Iman?
Aye.
Member King?
Aye.
Chair Branch?
Aye. Okay, great. We will see that one again next meeting. All right, let's see, that will bring us to item B5.
Item B5 is Balboa Residential Edition, located at 274 Daytona Drive, APN 079-421-015, case number 21-0017, LUP.
Very good. Before we begin, yeah, go ahead, Mary.
Chair Branch, this is an item that we're requesting that you continue to your next meeting on March 8th. The applicant wasn't ready to be here today.
Very good. My question was about the link on the website that said continuance and lack of a link to a set of plans. So that's great. All right, someone want to make a motion to continue this to March 8th?
I'll move.
Can I get a second?
Okay.
Seconded by Karis. Okay, very good. Linda?
Member Clinton?
Aye.
Member DeGasis?
Aye.
Member Iman?
Aye.
Member King?
Aye.
Chair Branch?
Aye. Okay, very good. This will take us to our conceptual calendar. Item C1.
Item C1 is the Yardi Development Plan Agreement located at 420, 430, and 490 South Fairview Avenue, APNs 071-130-061-057-062, case number 21-0002-ORD-SCD-DRB, and 21-0040-ZC.
All right, very good. Has everybody visited the site? Martha?
Site visit and no ex parte.
Jim?
I have not visited.
Karis?
Site visit, no ex parte.
Jonathan?
Site visit and no ex parte.
Virtual site visit and no ex parte. Let's see, who's our planner on this? Oh, Travis, welcome back.
Hello again. One moment, please. I'm just pulling things. Everyone can see the screen, right? The plans before you? Okay, excellent.
Yep.
Good afternoon, Chair Branch and members of the board. The presentation before you is for the Yardi Development Improvements Project located near the intersection of South Fairview and Carson in Old Town Goleta. The applicant seeks approval of 25 parking spaces as originally envisioned by the county approved development plan 98DP024 should the need arise in the future. The application for a substantial conformity determination and DRB review will serve to formalize the design of the 25 future parking spaces, including improvements in site lighting. The proposed locations of the parking spaces are situated in existing oversized landscape planters and have been placed in a manner to avoid removal of mature trees and to avoid conflict with existing drainage infrastructure on the property. A development agreement is also proposed as part of the Equal Fowler Street Improvement Project, but is not under DRB review. Specifically, the DRB is asked to review the location of the parking spaces, landscaping, and lighting while considering the Goleta Old Town Heritage District Architecture and Design Guidelines regarding exterior lighting and landscaping. Staff also requests the DRB comment as to how the proposed development is consistent with General Plan Policy 4.2 regarding business park zoned I-BP and or make suggestions for how the development's consistency with applicable policy can be improved. The applicant is available and staff is available for questions. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Is that you, Eva?
Yep, that's me.
Hi.
Long time to see.
Yeah, for sure. All right, take it away.
I think Travis covered it pretty well. Just to have some background, because I know this is kind of a weird request. The original county approved development plan envisioned, the original developer, which was not Yardi, felt that the parking requirements imposed by the county exceeded what they would ever need to do. And so there was an agreement made that they would rather have more landscaping, which is, you know, different than what we normally see, with this agreement that if in the future they needed additional parking, they, you know, they kind of pre-identified the areas where it would be. And so it's not super clear on this plan, but basically where you see the entry roundabout just below it, just below it, we have the two areas on either side.
Oh, I see.
Yep. And then just to the north.
Yep, I see.
There's like three spaces where it says 444.58, two spaces in that little red area.
Yep.
And then another, I don't remember how it breaks out on either side of the drive, but basically the total is 25 parking spaces. And this has now come about. Yardi is actually not at a point where they think they need that spacing, but Travis, will you scroll down to Equal? So as part of the Equal Fowler road extension project, as part of the original approval, I should say, the previous property owner gave most of the right-of-way for the Equihel-Fowler extension. Since then, the city has kind of revised that design to have a wider lane and a bike lane down there, so they needed more right-of-way. And so these dashed spaces that you see are existing spaces that will go away as part of that project. And so as part of the eminent domain case for that, the settlement agreement includes kind of pre-approval of these spaces so that if Yardi ever feels the need for them, they don't have to go through this process at that point. It's just kind of a done deal. And so that was part of the agreement with the city. And then the other thing, which again, not really in your purview because it's basically been done, but just as background, Travis, if you scroll up to Carson. Along Carson on the 420 site, there's 35 parking spaces facing Carson. Those were originally given to the Goleta Redevelopment Agency by Yardi. When the redevelopment agency dissolved, they kind of were in this limbo. And so we were already in discussions with the city about all of this. And so we agreed to basically just rededicate those spaces to the city to avoid, you know, any issue with them having been dedicated to the redevelopment agency, which no longer exists. So that's just really more background for you guys than anything else. And that's it. And then there's, you know, there's existing lighting throughout, and they figured while they were going to go through DRB, there's been some, you know, additional lighting that they wanted to put in. So that's where the lighting component comes in.
Are the lighting plans and updated parking stuff in here that you can walk us through?
Should be. Do you have the other sheets? You go down one more. Oh, 3 of 3.
Yeah, there you go.
I need to find the lighting is in the original one. One moment, please.
But yeah, I mean, this one certainly shows the parking. I'm bringing that up for anybody on the public who's just tuning in. And what happens to, while Travis is looking for that, what happens to the landscaping that's being replaced with parking in terms of site statistics and all that?
I think we were exceeded the minimum landscape because that was kind of just bonus landscape when this thing was approved. Oh no, that's what it was. Yeah. So the original approval already required, I think it's like 25%. And again, I don't know how this plays out with current zoning because the zoning has now obviously changed. But part of the reason the previous owner wanted to keep this as landscape as long as possible was, you know, just because the site was already, I think it looks like I can't tell if we're at 22 or 27. I'm pretty sure this says 22. And that's the proposed 22%.
Okay. Travis, did you find lighting information?
I'm still menu diving. Sorry about that.
I can, I've got it handy, Travis, if you want to, I don't know if I'm allowed to share my screen, but if I am.
That would be great if that's possible.
Yeah.
If you stop sharing screen, Travis, David will share.
That'd be great.
Okay. Let me just pull it up. Okay. Can you see it?
Yep.
Okay, perfect. So these are slightly different, but here's the existing light plan. Let me see if I can make this a little bit bigger. There we go. So the ones that have an A in front of them are 8 feet high. The Bs are 12-foot fixtures with retrofit lamps. Cs are 20-foot fixtures with LED retrofits, and D are 20-foot twin fixtures with LED.
Are there new fixtures being proposed in this?
There are. So this is the existing plan.
Okay.
Okay, so this is what we have there right now. And then the proposed plan. Let me zoom in on that for you. So proposed are the dark. So the hollow, I guess, empty ones are existing to remain, and then the dark ones are proposed. So you can see we're adding a little bit here, some in the area of the new spaces, mostly along the front here, one on this side. And then this corner has actually been notoriously dark. And then that's it. And I'll go back. And then we did do a photometric plan on this next page, in case anyone's interested. That might be a little too much. There you go. So here's the numbers here. Here's the 490 numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's 430.
Got it. Okay. Okay. And
this has a clearer, Jesse, I know we kind of covered it, but this has kind of a clearer, like 11 spaces here, 9 here, and then 2 and 3 here.
Okay. And then the ones down below, how many are going away down below?
I think it's 11. It kind of goes back and forth. Technically, it's 12, it looks like, maybe. But this whole row actually will also go away, even though that's not technically part of the site right now.
Okay. Okay.
And I think, and then this kind of gives you a view of that additional bike lane, and then this like protected right turn onto Fairview that the city wanted.
When ECHO happens. Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Anything else?
That's it on our side. Happy to answer any questions the members may have.
Okay. Karis, do you have any questions? No. Jonathan, do you have any questions?
No questions.
Jim, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I do. I have one anyway. Will there be any additional emergency call boxes installed in these areas so that somebody who gets stuck in one of these areas or gets threatened in one of these areas potentially has some way of communicating with the outside world in terms of seeking assistance or help?
No, I don't believe we have any call boxes on this property at this point. I think.
Oh, is there any intention in putting additional ones in?
Not that I have heard. That does not seem to be a current consideration or concern. I think most people nowadays are carrying cell phones with them, and that might be part of why it's not come up.
I'm sorry, most people what?
Are carrying cell phones. I'm not sure.
Most people are, but of course there are always the exceptions of people who are not.
Absolutely, I agree. I just don't know on a site this large how you would even, where you would put call boxes to make it.
But the point being that call boxes are not proposed in this application?
No.
Okay. Gotcha. Any other questions, Jim?
No.
Okay. Who haven't I asked? Martha, did I ask you?
You didn't, but any trees to be removed? It didn't look as if there were when I did my site visit.
No. In fact, Martha, the original design actually had all of the spaces down here. And in the interim, we have had a couple of large trees. I don't know if they were popped up in that area or planted or whatever. And so that's part of why we have these five spaces up here to protect the trees here and not get rid of these existing trees. So no, the only, I have, if you want, I did submit site photos so you can see the areas that where the parking spaces are. So it's super clear. So this is the landscaping at the proposed 9 spaces.
Mm-hmm.
This is the landscaping at the 11 spaces. And again, this tree and that tree will be in planters, so they'll remain. And then this is the where the 2 are gonna go, or 3 are gonna go. And then the other 2 are gonna be in here. So.
How fortuitous.
Yeah, they worked out really well.
Nice, okay. Okay, great. Anybody who I didn't ask about questions? I kind of went over mine as we were sort of beginning this. So let's move to, does the public, anybody in the public want to speak on this, Linda?
Would any attendee who wishes to speak on this item please click on the hand raise icon now? And I do not see any attendees at this time.
All right. Well, then let's move to comments. Martha?
I have no comments other than I think it makes sense to add the parking spaces since you're losing the 12. And I appreciate the way it was planned to avoid loss of any trees.
Jonathan?
I agree with Member DeVase's comments. I appreciate the work that they put into replacing those parking spaces without injuring the landscaping.
Very good. Karis?
I agree.
Very good. Jim?
Well, I have no additional comments.
Okay. My only comments is I agree with my colleagues. I think it's good planning ahead. Prior planning prevents poor performance, and this is a good example of that. So I can support this for sure. Okay, would somebody make a motion on this?
I move that we accept the application with subject to staff findings.
Can I get a second? Karis, I see a second. Any discussion? All right, Linda, can we have a roll call?
Member Clinton?
Aye.
Member DeGasis?
Aye.
Member Iman?
Aye.
Member King?
Aye.
Chair Branch?
Aye. Very good. Thank awesome. You, Eva.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
Thank you.
All right. So that will take us to our final item. Item D1.
Item D1 is advisory review, City of Goleta City Hall Solar PV Project, 130 Cremona Drive, APN
073-330-102. Very good. I'm assuming everybody has visited the site or has been there. Do Linda and Mary have to recuse themselves since they work at the city? to go through the formality, Jonathan, have you visited the site?
Site visit, no ex parte discussions.
Martha?
Site visit, no ex parte.
Very good. Jim?
Yes, I had a site visit twice.
And Karis?
Site visit, no expert.
Same here. Okay. Let's see. Cindy and Angeline. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, good to see you. Good afternoon, everyone, Chair Branch and members of the board. I'm Cindy Moore, manager with the sustainability program at the city's Planning and Environmental Review Department. Joining me today, we have a whole group of folks. First off, Peter Imhoff, who's the Director of Planning and Environmental Review. We also have Angeline Fauché, who's a management assistant with sustainability, and she's going to be helping out with the display of the plans, as you can see. We also have Stephanie Holmes, who is a Civic Spark Fellow with the Planning Department, and we have Jonathan Whalen with Optony. Optony was the city's consultant who assisted with all the analysis for the system. And then probably most important, we have with us Gabrielle Reese and Stuart Davis with Sandbar Solar, who is the contractor for the project. So we are very happy to bring this item forward for advisory review today. It really represents a milestone, to be perfectly honest, that is a longer than anticipated road to actual implementation for a clean energy project for the city. So just to start, I will provide just a brief overview of the project and then turn it over to the Sandbar folks who can walk us through the plans and provide a bit more of the specifics and technical details. So as Angeline has brought up here, this is a picture of the site. The project location is the Goleta City Hall property, and it will include installation of two new shade canopies in the eastern parking lot. And just to orient folks who might be watching online, this is the side of the parking lot that's nearest our council chambers entrance. And the canopies will be tilting toward the building or to the west. And the support structure, I just want to note, will include concrete piers and galvanized posts and steel beams, rather than a painted finish, and this is specifically recommended due to the site's proximity to the coast. The structure will also include under canopy LED lighting. It will be dark sky compliant and with a color temperature that is consistent with the city's streetlight system. And Sandbar, I think, can highlight the specific fixtures and the photometrics in a bit. And then I also just wanted to highlight that there are a couple of other components of the project specifically that may be of interest to the DRB is removal of potentially up to 18 trees in the area of the canopy install. And I think Angeline, yep, has that image up. And our landscape contractor says that these are New Zealand Christmas trees. I don't know the specific proper name, but so staff would be requesting council authorization for budget to replace the landscaping and any replacement irrigation that's necessary. Planning locations to be determined at a later date in the field in conjunction with the city's landscape contractor following installation of the arrays. And we would do this to seek to avoid, you know, locations that could shade the system in the long term. So today we would very much appreciate the DRB's guidance and recommendation with regard to a replacement tree species, as well as size of those plantings that could help inform our budget request. And then finally, the project is going to include conduit installation so that we can facilitate future EV charging stations along that area. And so I think with that, that was all I had to say. And then I'd like to now turn it over to Gabrielle and Stuart with the help of Angeline just to walk through the plans.
Very good.
Hi, everyone. Gabrielle Reese, project manager with Sandbar, and Stu.
Hello.
Stu's our engineer here. So yeah, I guess we can just go ahead and walk through the plans. Cover sheet just shows you aerial view from Google of where the site location is. Angeline, you can go to the next page. I'm gonna minimize all of our faces here so I can see the whole page. So our site plan shows conduits coming over from the building. All of our PV equipment's gonna be mounted on the side of the building. And then conduits going running over underground to the first canopy, and then underground to the second smaller canopy. And then, as Cindy mentioned, we'll be providing not only the conduit and wiring for the PV system and lighting and the data for communications, but also spare conduits for future EV chargers likely to be located, I think, in this first larger canopy. You can go to the second or the next page. So yeah, that was just more detail on the array layout. You can see the panel dimensions and how the array overlaps on the parking spaces below. And here's our demo plan, just showing the trees that need to be removed that are going to be obstructions with the arrays, as well as the light. There's just a couple light poles in the location of the first larger canopy that need to be removed as well. This is just our electrical DC string layout wiring configuration. This is an existing underground utility plan. It's just to reference during construction. And then lastly, this is our lighting and photometric plan. You can see the fixture reference in the lower left-hand corner, the fixture schedule. And this one, as Cindy mentioned, is going to be 2700 Kelvin, which is in alignment with what we understand is the common color temperature for the city. And then just our single line, more electrical details. Lighting plan, everything will be on motion sensing, as well as a photo cell, which will dim with sensing the daylight. Additionally, there is likely to be a time clock on the existing parking lot lighting, and so we will seek to retain the time clock capabilities as well, because we'll be intercepting that existing lighting circuit to power the new fixtures. And this is just more wiring details. Equipment locations, you can see on the right, is just a general mounting detail for the inverters. They'll be mounted on the steel columns at the canopy. This is what converts the DC power to AC. And then on the left are the equipment layouts and elevations of the PV, the combiner panel for the three inverters, and then the AC disconnect, and then the monitoring enclosure.
Just something to point out, the inverters mounted on the columns in the parking lot will be up high and out of reach, so they're not accessible easily to be tampered with.
Just some more details on the interconnection location and method, as well as just the equipment location you can see from plan view. And just some more general details. These are all of our equipment spec sheets that we're intending to use for this project.
Is there anything else you'd like me to pull up for y'all?
So we have the structural drawings, I believe, submitted as well. If you have those handy, then that might be good to review.
I think the main takeaway from the structural drawings would be to the section view that shows the clear height for any vehicles driving in. We're going to keep that to 10 feet minimum at the low end. So
is that going to be the clear height? Oh, I see.
Yeah. So on the left side of that lower image.
Yep.
10 foot minimum there, which would put the high end at, I think about 15 feet at the bottom edge of the array.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's not too much to the structural set. This is still an early preliminary 90% set, but it has the important details of the dimensions of the columns in the ground, the in-ground piers, and then the height of the structure, as Stu mentioned. And these will be mounted in the center pathways in between the parking stalls.
Yeah, in the planter area between the parking rows. So there's none of the parking stalls will be inhibited.
And I believe Cindy said at the beginning that these are all the steel we're going to see is going to be galvanized.
Correct. Yeah, that's correct. That's the recommendation of the canopy subcontractor, is that the proximity to the coast, that a galvanized method is going to be going to best protect that structure from corrosion. Mm-hmm. If it was painted, that the paint would just corrode super quickly.
Very good. Very good. Okay. Anything else?
I think that's all we had to present. So unless you have any questions.
No, that's good. That's great. Okay. Let's see, Jonathan, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I'm wondering what's going to happen to the actual planters when the trees are removed. Are the planters going to be removed, or are we going to get some sort of greenery underneath the canopy? I've been at some projects where just this vast wasteland of panels above and endless expanse of asphalt underneath, and it seems pretty ghastly. So I don't know I couldn't tell what the plan was. Is there going to be any landscaping left behind once the trees are removed?
Yes,
Stuart may be able to speak to if all of the landscaping will be removed in addition to the trees, but we would be looking to the board to make any recommendations regarding ground cover replacement in that area. But the planters are not expected to be removed.
Yeah, and the plan for sandbar is just to remove the trees. Just anything that would be obstructing the installation of the canopy itself will be removed. So in this case, it's just going to be the trees. So any shrubs or any further landscaping won't be in our scope for this project.
Those would remain. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is getting teed up perfectly for Martha and Karis.
Go for it.
Jim, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I do have one question. Was any thought given to potentially installing this on the roof of the existing building as opposed to the parking lot?
Cindy, are you familiar with that?
Yeah, I can start, and then Sandbar folks may want to add in. Essentially, what was going to be needed to cover the usage for the city, it was going to require some shade canopies or carport type structures. The roof is pretty full with equipment. There is some space available, but there was some concern that there was going to be cost to remove and replace the roof screens that are currently shielding that equipment, as well as kind of getting into the weeds a little bit, but there's some structural potential constructual concerns. We didn't have the structural drawings, and so what was going to be needed to confirm suitability for placement on the roof, there was going to be a significant cost associated with that. So because we were going to need to be placing carport or shade structures in the parking lot anyway, it was decided that that was just to be the entirety of the project at this time.
So let me ask you another question. How many trees are actually going to be removed, and how many trees are going to be replaced, and will they be the same size, or will they be different kinds of vegetation?
Right. So it's the plan image that I think Angeline showed showed up to 18 trees removed in those planter areas. I think there might be one that may not need to come out, probably TBD in the field during construction. So the request for budget would be for one-to-one replacement. We are requesting DRB's, you know, guidance on that in terms of sizing and species.
Very good. Karis, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I thought I heard you say that you were tilting them towards the building, west.
Yeah, that's what, like, if you look at the drawing right there, the drawing, that section drawing on the very bottom shows it tilting, and it's tilting kind of towards the building.
It's
what's the thinking there?
So the thinking there is generally the afternoon production is more valuable than the morning production, and also I know down there it's typically foggy in the mornings in the summertime. So when it's a matter of choosing east or west, generally west is a preferred direction. And the building shade doesn't become a factor until pretty late in the day. It's, you know, it's a tall building, but these structures are tall enough and far enough away that they won't get shade until pretty late. So the impact of the building shade is considered, and it's, you know, it's not zero, but it's factored in. So.
Mm-hmm. Other question? Okay. I'm going to say that I don't have any questions, so that I can give it to Martha. And Martha, after your questions, I guess we'll ask if there's any public comment. Go ahead.
So I have two questions. One is the lighting will be motion sensor on, timer off. And if it motion senses on, let's say at night, like late at night or something, when it would not ordinarily be on, how long is the delay until it automatically turns off? That's one question. And my second question is, this may seem antithetical to landscape architecture, but why does the city feel it needs to replace 15 trees? And those are my two questions.
I can answer the lighting question. The photocell or the timer will work so that the lights aren't on during the day, of course, when they're not needed. Part of the Title 24 requirements includes dimming after maybe 15 minutes. I can double check that. But there's, and they're programmable too. There's usually a range of, like, you know, 1 to 30 minutes that you can adjust those settings. So they don't turn off when the motion sensor, after that time, they just dim down to between 10 and 50%. So that there's still light in the parking lot, but it's not as bright as it would need to be when somebody's trying to get into their car.
So is the lighting on all night then, or am I misunderstanding you?
It can be. It's programmable. So it's basically whatever is required. I'm pretty sure currently the lights on the post down there are on a time clock. I don't know the specifics of what time they turn on and off, but
so it could be turned off completely after a certain hour until dawn.
Correct.
Yeah, they could be programmed to be turned off completely at night, except if it senses motion, in which case it would turn on and then dim on and then dim down to off.
With regard to the number of tree replacement, I don't think it's a hard one-to-one. We'll look to the DRB for recommendations on that. That was the starting point. And then also thinking about space available in the field when it comes to planting time.
Okay. Linda, does anybody from the public want to comment?
Would any attendee who wishes to speak on this item please click on the hand wave icon now? And Chair Branch, no.
Okay. Then, Martha, I would say, why don't we start with you with comments?
I support the project wholeheartedly. I think there are probably 2 to 4 locations along the perimeter of the existing parking lot that might accept new tree plantings. I can't see a location on this site for 15 trees. And my recommendation would be possibly a native plant species like coast live oak, and in 24-inch box standard form. And under the canopies, I think the planting areas would easily support non-climbable plants like India hawthorn or a coffee berry, something like that, that would grow 2 to 3 feet tall and not overwhelm the part or the planting space and to fill the parking lot planters. And I think that would certainly suffice. Those are my comments.
Very good. Karis?
I agree.
You agree?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Very good. Jonathan?
I'm glad for Martha's expertise. Thank you.
Smart man. Jim, any comments?
Well, I have no additional comments.
I have minimal comments. I absolutely defer to Martha's and Karis's expertise with regards to any of the landscaping comments. And I support the project. I think it's a great idea, and I actually like the galvanized look. It's kind of industrial, and the buildings are kind of industrial looking. So I think it's a win. So those would be my comments. I realize this is advisory, so I don't think there's anything for us to make a motion on here, is there, Mary?
No, just the item is just for comments to staff on this project.
Got it. No, I think very, very positive comments. It's a good, great project.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thanks very much.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
All right, then that takes us to our announcements by members and staff. Anybody have any announcements or amusing anecdotes? All right. Well, that will take us to the end of our meeting. And Jim, that was the end of your first meeting. How do you feel about it?
I have a lot to learn.
I think you'll fit right in. You're participatory and asked a lot of questions, and that's what's important. So the public can only benefit. So I think that's a good thing. All right, everybody. Thanks a lot. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you all.
Sorry now.